right, everybody, welcome to the final season 3 episode of To The Rink podcast. This will be our last one for the season. Puffy and I need a long break. It's a lot of work to put these things together. We work overtime doing this, don't we, Puff?
Overtime. So
we need, spring and summer off. We'll come back in the fall for season 4, I think.
Yes.
Are we going to sign? Are we signing now for season 4, Puff?
Well, no, it's season 3, right?
We're finishing season 3. The question is, are we coming back in? Yeah, we are. It's season 3.
Season 2.
No, Puff, a whole other year's gone by. This is season 3, episode 90.
Are you serious? This is season 3?
Are you joking?
No, it's season 3.
This is the end of season 3.
We've been doing this that long?
3 years, yeah. Because
really?
We started, I was in a different house when we started.
Wow, yeah. I'm not even joking. I totally thought this was only the end of season 2.
That's how good the pods are. You didn't even realize you're in season 3. In fact,
we're almost in syndication. We really get that big syndication money.
The huge
people can relive the 24-25 season.
Yeah, they can. They can go back. They can listen to all the great banter we've had back then. The question, though, I guess we'll come back for season 4. Are you in for next season? We're going to do an online.
Why wouldn't we?
All right, there's the breaking news. But as always, we start the podcast with the number. And this is, like I said, season 3, final episode, which is episode 90.
Yes.
Puff, tell the people who number 90 is.
Well, a few options. Corey Perry obviously comes to mind. He's been playing for so long, so many different teams. Playoff warrior, loses in the final every year. But I went with Ryan O'Reilly, Nashville Predators forward. Played for the Leafs a few years back, won the cup with the St. Louis Blues. But my connection to Ryan O'Reilly is Tanya, when she was at Rogers during hometown hockey, he sort of came to sign autographs. And we were in Niagara, which I think is kind of close to his hometown. And he was playing for the Sabres at the time. So he'd come and signed autographs, and we were a little late getting there. And by the time we got there, he had already left. And the boys were a little disappointed because they wanted to meet him. And then word got to him that he had missed the boys. He gets out of his car, comes all the way back just to meet Barrett and Austin when they're probably, I don't know, 9 and 7 or something. Took the time to have like a little moment with them. Didn't just quickly sign. He talked to them, asked them questions about their hockey. And I was just super impressed with them. Because, I mean, you know, they're NHL players, but they're young guys still. He was probably like in his 20s. And from there on, I was a fan. And I was happy he won a cup. And I was happy he played for the Leafs. And I wish he had won one here as well.
Yeah, he's a nice guy. I remember people saying like people like him. And he came to the Leafs, people thought big things, but nothing really generated as per the Leafs usually, right? With him, is that the case? I mean, he was only here for like a year or two, is that right?
He was only here really for the one playoff run. They got him and I think that year they won a series, so I think he was there for the series over Tampa. But I thought he could have been the missing piece because he is one of those types of players. He was fantastic the year the Blues won the cup final in 2019. He was a big reason why they won the Stanley Cup that year.
Yeah. All right. Like 90. There it is. Episode 9. Did you ever say that when you were younger? Like 90? Was that a saying where you grew up? No.
No.
It was a saying in my high school. I don't even know what it meant. Like if something was good, it was like 90. I don't know why we would say that. Anyway, we can move on because that's a stupid thing to say. Anyway, Puff, that was your last one of the season. So season 40, or 4, I mean, not 40, season 4. We'll start at 91. We're going to get 9 episodes into next season.
Yes.
And then we're going to hit 100. And so 100 will do a 00. So I'm assuming there's something we can find with a 00. There's got to be some number out there.
Yes.
But then we have to move on. We have to, this little gimmick we do at the beginning will wrap at that point. We'll have to figure something else out at that time.
Yes.
We have a whole summer. We have the summer off to think about it.
Yeah, because there's no chance that I could go through the numbers again without duplicating constantly because I would forget who I'd picked the last time.
Right, right. Yeah, so I have that challenge with our song of the week, to be honest with you.
Yes.
Do you have that challenge?
Yes. There's a few times if I pick an older song, if I'm like, oh, did I already do Thunderstruck?
Which is funny because it's only, yes, we have. It's funny though because we've only done 90 songs. So I guess it's 180 yes. songs.
It's a lot for me. I don't go as deep as you do in the songs.
No, I have I've told you about my playlist, right?
Yes.
Where I have this playlist that I've been working on. I'm very proud of it. It might be the, like beyond my children and my marriage. It might be one of the things I'm the most proud of, which is this playlist that I made that is a collection of all my favorite songs that I've collected over the years. And I've just put it all in one place. And it has currently 1,120 songs on it.
Yeah, like a lot of times when people pass away after like, not the funeral, but the viewing before, they'll have music playing in, you know, for everyone, sometimes favorite songs from the person or whatever. Your viewing is going to have to start about 3 weeks early.
That's right.
It'll just be take forever to get through all the playlist.
Well, I was just about to tell you, like, how many hours do you think this playlist is? If you had to guess, 1,120 songs. Average song's 3 minutes.
Like 4 weeks?
No, 74 hours and 30 minutes. Yeah,
okay, little, 3 days.
Yeah, 3 days. So you can hang out for 3 days and listen to every single song.
That's okay, so now it's just a weekend.
It's a good long weekend. I've got you covered.
When you get to that, yeah, like, so you should just play it one weekend. Just have it going the whole weekend.
Yeah, okay.
We start can do to that finish.
On late, on, next time we're in the county.
Yeah, Labor Day. We'll just press play and just press have play. It as a constant soundtrack to the weekend.
That's it. That's it. So, you know, some other news, Puff, you just came back from the Masters. You make everyone jealous because you get to, this is how many years in a row now?
Well, it's my 24th. So I'm almost 24th been going Masters. To the Masters half my life.
Crazy, isn't it? And it's one of those things that I meet people and they're like, oh my God, I got in the lottery and I got a practice round and I flew. And it's like a goal, like a bucket list goal for them. You 24 and you're taken care of when you're there too. You have drivers, you have a house near the course, you've got access. Yeah. Like you're spoiled. Yeah.
Yes.
Now you're working. Let's not minimize that.
Sure.
You're working, but it is an honor to go to this thing all the time.
For sure. And they treat you very well. At the course and it's just a beautiful place. And it's different from the rest of society there in the sense of like most sporting experiences. Now you'll see everyone's got their phones out, no phones on the property. So everyone's engaged. Nobody acts out. This year, there was a few actually people yelling out, which is very shocking. And I'm sure they were quickly removed from the property, but people are all in their best behavior. It's like if you set a standard, people will adapt to it if they really want to be part of something. And they definitely do that there. And the golf was great. And I'm very fortunate that I get to go every year.
Yeah, that's fun. So the Masters was good. So that's why we have a bit of a delay. We didn't record last week because you were gone to the Masters. That happened to us the year before. Actually, last year, we actually never did a final episode. We said, we'll come back and do a final episode, and then we just never did.
We never did?
No.
That could have been our thing.
Could have been our thing. We pretend, and we dropped viewers and listeners, I mean, at that time. But anyway, so we're back at it, but it is the end. We are at the complete final. We are now talking about next season. We are well into next season mind over here in this house. I don't know about you.
Yes,
we're in the next season already. We've moved on. So let's talk about, where did Barrett wrap up? So his team, EastEnders, I think the last we heard. Cats,
we lost in the East semifinal to North York. And so as early as we've been in the last four city finals. And so every time I've gone to the Masters for the last 4 years, I've been able to watch the boys from down there. And this year was a little different, not having the hockey. Barrett was fortunate, though, after his season ended with the Ticats, he got the opportunity to play with the Don Mills Flyers as an AP in the OHL Cup, which was very exciting for him. He had a blast. It was great for him to be able to play against some of the top kids in the province. And then it was great for me to be able to watch a lot of these kids you hear about over the years. And the level of hockey was tremendous. The Flyers did pretty well. They made it out of the group stage. They lost to Upper Canada College in the quarterfinals, and the final came down to the best team in the U.S., which is Honey Baked. They played.
Was that the game?
Yeah, you were at that game. So best team is JRC, and it was the Americans coming out on top 3-1 with tournament MVP Austin Hall scoring 2 goals, including the game winner. Honey Baked, the first American team to ever win the tournament.
Yeah, I was there. I don't know if that's good luck or bad luck or whatever, but I went. I went to the Mattamy Center to watch it. It was a great arena. First of all, great arena.
Yes, Mattamy's a great place.
I wish we could get that in the G. Like, we're playing at Don Mills Civilton. Yeah. How are we not playing at the Mattamy Center when they don't have hockey going on? It's a beautiful place.
Yeah, I just think that what's Ryerson called now? TMU?
TMU, yeah.
Yeah. I just think they're probably for their intramurals and then their varsity teams. They're probably just not a lot of ice there.
Yeah, for sure. But, like, what a beautiful ring. Like, if the G, imagine the G put on, like, a Friday night AAA U16 game every week at the Mattamy thing. It was like a thing, like Fridays at 8.
Oh, yeah.
There's a game. It's a AAA. You know, you get all the younger kids to come watch, see. It could become a thing.
Oh, I 100% agree. Especially if you were able to get it on, say you could get it on Rogers TV or something.
Right. And you did it at a place like that versus like Scarborough, York, Canland or something, you know, or whatever, Canland, York.
Yeah.
Anyway, so I went, the place was pretty full. I went with a couple and it was funny. I was like, oh, this will be fun. Like, it's a Saturday afternoon. And, you know, I invited a dad over and his kid, and we went and we grabbed a couple beers and went on the subway and drank a couple beers on the way down. We're like, oh, this will be a good afternoon. We get there thinking, okay, we're going to have a couple beers and watch hockey and the kids will run. They didn't serve any beers. It was closed. They have beers there, but they wouldn't serve them. It was a totally dry event.
I guess maybe because it's minor hockey, but that shouldn't really matter. There's plenty of minor hockey arenas that have beers. Yeah, that's like a lot of them.
So it was kind of this like, we were in for a good afternoon of dads having a couple beers. Then that just turned into watching our kids watching the game, which was fine. It was a good game. I was standing beside a parent of one of the Honey Baked kids.
Okay.
And ended up talking to him. And he was saying that they had just come off a tournament in Green Bay. They were there for the week before. They came home for one night, then came up here for the OHL Cup. They had lost their top 3 players. The number one player was like the best in the U.S. and he left midway through the season or 3/4 of the way this season to go play like in a private team, private school kind of thing or something.
Went to go play in Minnesota.
Okay, I'm sure you know, you would know more than me. And then the next 2 kids didn't come up because they made some sort of national team and they didn't have the time or it was overlap or whatever with this thing. So their top 3 players were done. So he said they only booked a hotel till the Wednesday, thinking they were just going to have their regular and then be gone. They've just come off all these hockey games and stuff. And every day they had to book another hotel and book another hotel and book another hotel because they never thought they were going to win anything.
Really? That's surprising because I was not at all shocked that they made it all the way.
Yeah. So anyway, that's what this parent said. I don't know if he was just being humble, but he was a nice guy. Yeah. And anyway,
that's great.
Yeah, it was good. It was nice to see them win. And at the end of the game, they dumped the Gatorade on the coach.
Oh, nice.
And it stained the ice orange.
Oh.
Right. You know what I mean? They dumped orange Gatorade on. I wonder if TMU is mad about that. Like, is that something that's easily fixed? I don't know.
I don't know, but I would guess it'd be pretty easy to maybe a few floods
dilute it, a couple floods. Yeah.
Yeah.
Anyway, we like looked and I was like, oh, ha, ha. We all laughed. And I was like, oh, I don't know if they're going to be happy with a big orange stain on the side of the rink now.
I personally was disappointed. I wanted to see the Canadians win because we are losing too much to the Americans at hockey this day.
Yeah, we are. I was in the same boat. But you know what? They come in threes. We lost Olympics, guys. We lost Olympic girls, and now we lost the OHL Cup.
Yeah.
The curse is over. The curse is ready. Over.
Now we'll start.
Canada's coming back. So over here, we're into next year. Clive's team made it into the round, so the U10 AA round robin. We got into the secondary. No one really did well. We kind of did a couple ties. We had a bunch of losses. We won a few, but we didn't make it. So we were out.
Yeah.
And then that was that. Now a bunch of the kids have joined a beast team, so we're now on a beast team, beast athletics team, for a couple tournaments coming up. So the kids are, you know, the majority of the kids are still together, still playing. Not all of them, but a bunch of them are, and are in this beast tournament thing. So it's good. So the momentum of our team on is still there because we have a good group of kids and they all like to hang out. They're all like friends. So awesome. It's good that they're on this beast team and they're enjoying that. So that's what we have with Clive.
That's great. Beast is awesome. We did that program when the boys were younger and they both liked it.
Yeah, no, it seems great. It seems fantastic. They really like it. And then on Ozzy's team, I think we last talked, we lost, we were gone. So we got taken out there, but they joined the Founders Cup, which is first round. You know, so we've done okay. We're first place in the Founders. So we're going into a game on Saturday, the semifinal. And then I guess the final will be on Sunday. So it'll, and then on top of that, we have a Canlan York University tournament that they put a team together. So Ozzy has like 8 games between tonight or like tomorrow morning and Sunday.
Wow.
Because he switches from his Founder Cup team to the tournament team, to the tournament team, to the Founders Cup team, tournament team, tournament team. Maybe it's, so it's, maybe it's 6 games. But anyway, he has a lot of games in the next few days.
Wow, good for Ozzy.
Yeah. He has 3 on Friday, 7 games. 3 on Friday, 2 on Saturday, 2 on Sunday.
Nice.
Yeah. So lots of hockey. Lots of hockey.
Yeah, hockey's not slowing down in the Caton House.
No, and then this weekend, so we're committed. We're going back. Clive, this is Clive we're talking about. We're going back to the U10 AA team at Ted Reeve. We're excited about next year. I think we're going to have a really good, you know, the kids, like I said, they're a good group of kids. They all like to gel and hang out. I mean, we have a bunch of good players. You saw them at the end of the year. So I'm hopeful for next year. But just out of practice, this weekend, if anyone knows, and I don't know when we get this posted, so it's all the AAA skates, like the open, the open come tryouts. And so they're all posted on the website. And so just out of practice, just out of, let's go see what it looks like. We're going to go to one. We're going to go to one on Saturday. We're just going to the closest one. We have no, but Clive has some aspirations to maybe think about and look at AAA. So we said, okay, well, let's go to the tryouts. What I find funny about these tryouts or AAA in general is the communication is so hard to understand what to do. So like, do you have to register? There's nowhere to register. So do you just show up if you don't know? That's why I had asked you before. Do you show up? I had actually emailed the coach saying, hey, you got your thing. We want to come. And this is my experience with AAA so far.
Yeah.
And I get it. Like, we're not Connor McDavid. But there is zero communication. No, it's like they lose their fingers on how to write back in an email. It is crazy, the lack of communication. So I have no idea. So like, it just like, and I'm in the hockey world and I had no idea, you know, like what you should just show up? Do you just wait? What's the polite thing to do here? You don't want to be embarrassed, you know, blah, 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 blah. So anyway, I understand now these ones you can just show up to, but other ones you don't. But the one thing that's been consistent is the lack of answering some questions back from the organizations or from the coaches of the AAA team.
Yeah. The tryouts that are posted, those are open. I don't know if all the tryouts are open. Like, I think that after the first tryout, they might say, okay, we'd like to see you again, or that's it. But definitely the first tryouts are open.
Yeah. So you know what I did here today, Puff?
Yes.
I got a little history of the AAA hockey.
Oh, nice.
I pulled a little, I used a little Claude. Do you know what Claude is? Yeah.
No.
No, it's that's like the AI. AI. Yeah, I've been is using a little Claude lately.
The Toronto Maple Leafs are using these days?
Maybe. So anyway, let me give you a little go. So here we go. Some of it started, we got some olden days time. So where it all started, 1911, 17-year-old named Frank D. Smith. He went on to start the GTHL with 5 teams and 99 players. This is a teenager. No government money, no corporate backing, just a guy who loved hockey, a kid, in fact, who loved hockey. And that man ran the GTHL for 50 years. He's in the Hockey Hall of Fame.
Wow.
Yeah.
He should be.
Yeah. They changed the name over the decade to the Toronto Hockey League first, then the Metro Toronto Hockey League in 1972, and then finally the Greater Toronto Hockey League in 99. same thing, same mission, different names. In its 115 years of existence, the GTHL has never taken a single dollar of government funding. It's entirely volunteer driven, and it's one of the most remarkable facts in Canadian sport history. So, we've talked about the scale things. It's the largest minority hockey organization in the world, 2,800 teams, 40,000 players. For context, NHL has 32 teams. Okay, so that's the filter down. It cost over $10 million to run, and $6.7 million of that is ice time alone, is just getting the ice time, or paying for ice, that is. So the single biggest challenge for the GTHL isn't talent, it's ice. There are 51 associations under the GTHL umbrella, House League, Select, AA, AA, AAA, and the AAA tier is the crown jewel. This is what we're going to talk about. The top of the pyramid where everything gets serious. So at the AAA level, kids play 80 to 90 games a season, including tournaments. They get private coaching, top teams, video sessions, and many families spend somewhere. What do you think the average AAA family spends on their kid for a season?
I would say, like, for their, I'd say about 14,000.
Okay, well, the average says here is 10 to 12,000.
Yeah, that's fair.
But, you know, with the cost of skates and stuff, I'm sure it's higher.
Oh, yeah, the fly lights they all have.
Yeah. Teams at the AAA carry the kids from as far away as Russia come in to play here. That's how globally respected it is. International families relocate their children. Isn't that like the Hugheses? Didn't the Hugheses do that? The boys,
the Hughes brothers played here. I think all three of them probably played up in GTHL. And just from Bear was on the Don Mills flyer at the end there, and I think five of the kids were billeting, which is crazy.
So yeah, it's bananas. So anyway, and it's really good hockey. As one longtime GTHL coach put it, you're playing a good game every single night. You know, there's no coasting, no easy nights. Every game on the rink across the city is a test. The pressure cooker environment is exactly why the league produces so many pros, but it's also why some kids don't make it out the other side intact. So it is a rough run in the AAA world.
Well, I would push back a little bit with the AI on that one, that there's definitely a big difference between the top, you know, four or five teams in AAA usually, and the bottom, you know, two or three. There's a pretty big gap there in most age groups.
We had this debate the other day. Do you think the best AA team can beat, like, the worst AAA team?
In like a G team versus a G team.
U16, the best AA team in U16 GTHL,
which is the Vaughan Rangers
could play the bottom one or two AAA teams and win, you think?
Well, I know the Vaughan Rangers this year played in the AAA tournament and in the States this year, and they lost one game.
Right, so they're good.
So they're good. Like, so they're certainly capable of beating even the EastEnders. We went to the States 2 years ago and won a AAA tournament. Now not top AAA teams, but they were all AAA teams. This year we played in that tournament again. Didn't do as well this year, but we played a AAA tournament in the East in Halifax, and we won a game there and played some of their top teams. So yeah, like, I know AAA parents will push back on this, but I think at certain age groups and certainly at the top of AA, there's a lot of times those teams would probably do quite well against the bottom team or two at AAA. The big difference would be once you start playing the mid-pack or top AAA teams, the AA teams would get killed because of the bottom half of their roster.
Just that much better.
Not strong enough. Yeah.
Yeah. So there's some dark side to the AAA scene, as you can guess. There's some dark side. It's a dog eat dog world. No, wouldn't you say?
It's certainly more intense for the parents and the kids too. You can see it. The quietest arenas are AAA arenas.
Yeah.
And that starts at U10. You know, you want to go to a U11 AAA game and a U11 single A game. It's not even close how the difference in.
No, I know
in,
that.
In noise.
I've been to a lot of single A games. It can get crazy.
Yeah, I think for some of the kids, they can thrive in those kinds of environments where it's a lot of pressure put on them by coaches and their parents. And there's kids that it's not a great environment for them. But usually, you know, that's found out, you know, quicker than later.
So the GTHL also markets itself, as we know, in these teams as nonprofit teams, right? However, you know, when someone's kind of try to get one of these teams or buy one of these teams, we've been told like it can cost up to $1 million in some cases. That's what my source here is telling me, that in some cases it's a big, investment that goes on here. And the budgets that these teams run are typically well over $200,000, $250,000 for the budgets of the team. So big money for a nonprofit. You know what I mean?
Well, I mean, I'm not sure on the GTHL ones. The one, the number I always heard for the Detroit Little Caesars 2010 U16 AAA team, their budget was $1.3 million, which is
crazy.
Absolutely insane. But for G teams, probably 200,000 seems pretty reasonable. But a lot of that money is going into paying for coaches, right?
Yeah, a lot of it.
There's always pushback on, you know, paying for coaches, but it's a lot of time and effort that these guys and gals.
Oh, it's a full-time gig.
It's not gals, it's all guys. And there's a lot of pressure put on them. It's a lot of time commitment. So if you want these guys who have the experience and know how to help these athletes at that age, there has to be some kind of financial incentive for them, not just out of the goodness of their heart. And I know some of them, a lot of them love being around the kids and love helping the next set of athletes, but it doesn't hurt them to put money in their pocket.
Yeah.
And so that's money's got to be paid. Right?
Money speaks. So the biggest thing is the money. I mean, the money and then making the teams, obviously, that's a lot of work to go in to make these teams. And there's like, it's a full-time job just to talk to them.
Yeah.
But anyway, despite this, the GTHL produces some of the best hockey players in the world. The Hockey Hall of Famers like Red Kelly, Frank Mahalka, how do you say it?
Frank Mahovlich.
Yeah. Bill Dernan. And then like new all-stars or like more recent ones like Paul Coffey, Eric Lindros, Brendan Shanahan, Jason Spezza, PK Subban. This is what this whole list does. John Tavares.
New stars like Paul Coffey.
Connor McDavid, Mitch Marner, Jack.
There we go.
Shane Wright. There you go. Yep. So on the 2025 NHL opening night, 84 GTHL alumni were on NHL rosters.
That's pretty crazy to me because that's
isn't that over crazy?
That's basically four whole teams out of 32 are GTHL players.
Every single year for the past decade, at least 65 active NHL players at any given time are GTHL graduates. That number is almost unbelievable for a youth league, that's for sure. This most recent season was 77 GTHL alumni participated in the open night.
Wow.
And then the biggest stage, the OHL Cup. Would you say that's the biggest stage for the AAA? That's the thing?
I think that's the biggest tournament for sure for Ontario-born kids at that level. But even like it was a pretty big deal, I think, for the American teams that were up.
Right. So we go to the OHL Cup. That's kind of the end of the season. And then I asked here, I go, what's the biggest rivalries? And the rivalries, it said it's the Toronto Marlboros versus every other team. That's what it says as the rivalries, as the answer. I don't know if that's true or not, but I'll let you answer that one.
I would say that's probably a few years ago during like maybe Connor McDavid when he was coming through. I think Tyler Seguin was there. The Strom brothers, I think, both played for the Marlboros. There was definitely a few years there, probably, you know, 15, 20 years ago when they were winning everything. I would say it's a little more even now. JRC, I would say, is probably the organization. Vaughn Kings, those two. And DMF at the younger ages is definitely doing really well. So
totally.
It's those organizations those are probably the top three, I'd say.
And then, so anyway, in the end, GTHL and the AAA organization is older than the NHL. It survived two world wars, a depression, a pandemic, and oh, many Toronto cold winters. It produces some of the greatest hockey players that's ever lived. And now it's in the middle of a reckoning about what it actually stands for, a place to develop the best hockey players or a place to develop the best hockey players whose family can afford it. Because I think that's really the biggest challenge that goes on with hockey these days, for sure.
And youth sports in general.
Yeah, but hockey in particular, like, I mean, yes, I agree with you. There's always more coaching. You have to pay for coaches, whether it's, you know, pick your sport, doesn't matter. But hockey just has ice, which is a lot different than just having a field. You know, it has, you know, three referees. The skates are, what did you pay for skates? Like $1,100, $1,200?
Yeah, they're expensive.
You know, for a pair of skates. Sticks, you're breaking $350 bucks a time or whatever, $250 bucks a time.
Yeah.
You know, and then, like I said, like as you get more competitive, it's, you know, you're expected to do, you know, skating and extra this and extra that and extra this. You can see how it just becomes totally out of reach for so many people.
For sure.
Both money and resources to like be at the rink. Like how many families can have that kind of money? And then also the parents or the guardians or the support to get to the arenas or get to the, because again, nothing's close. Like you're driving everywhere. So you got to really love it. We all sign up for it. We all know what we're in for, but you know, it is something that, you know, you see a lot of the younger parents and the younger kids, like they don't really recognize how much they're in for on this stuff.
Yeah.
Like, it's a big commitment.
This is how deep it's going to go.
It goes deep and I'm right at the beginning of it again. So here we go again. So yeah, so that's it. That's the GTHL AAA hockey overview I got.
What a league.
What a league. What a league. Still, and at the end of all that, 3 seasons, 90 episodes, still won't recognize us, won't talk to us at all.
Oh, they love Tanya though.
Yeah, but that has not transferred into any liking of us.
No. One day.
Anyway, Puff, I know we don't have the rankings because there's not much, but is there anything updated that we need to share on the winnings of, you know, the last time we talked, like who's won different divisions? What do you got for the final episode here?
For the final episode, I kind of went through and tried to wrap up all the league playoffs that were going on because none of them were really done when we last did this. So let's start, as always, U16 AAA. We already talked about the OHL Cup at U16, where JRC came up short in the final, and this was the same story for the Canadians in the GTHL playoff final when they were upset by the Vaughan Kings 3-2. I was at the series decider at Scotia Pond. The Kings came out flying that game and got a quick start on JRC, and they were never able to catch up. Great season by both teams, and there should be plenty of players from JRC and the Vaughan Kings that are picked in the OHL draft that will take place in Kingston in June. U16 AA saw the Vaughan Rangers advance to the city finals for the third straight year, and for the first time in the 2010 age group, a team other than the East Ender Ticats represented the East in the city final, with the first place Scarborough Young Bruins finally winning their first East playoff title. SYB won game one of the city finals, but the Rangers managed a late goal in game two to secure a tie and then won 3 straight games to win their third straight city championship. So congrats to that group. U16 single A saw the Forest Hill Force, the team many thought would be the top team in the single A loop this year, show why they deserved such high expectations. After losing their first playoff game against the Toronto Arrows in round one, the Force lost just 3 more times, beating the Arrows, Leaside Flames, top seed Scarborough Ice Raiders, and finally the Humber Valley Sharks in the city final. Speaking of impressive runs, U15 AAA was dominated this season by the Vaughan Kings as they lost just once in the playoffs, beating JRC in the final to take home the GTHL crown. The Kings went a perfect 7-0 at the OHFs, beating the Sioux Greyhounds 3-2 in the final to be the top team in Ontario, and they will be the team to beat next season in the U16 AAA loop. U15 AA saw a huge surprise in the East as the third seed Markham Islanders advanced to the city finals after beating the top seed Ted Reeve Thunder 7-1 in the East final. The mojo did run out for the Islanders as they were beat in three straight in the city final by the West champs Greater Toronto Capitals, who had upset the top seed Humber Valley Sharks in the West final. The Capitals will play this weekend in the OHF finals alongside tournament hosts Vaughan Rangers. U15 single A saw the East champs Leaside and the West champs Toronto Avalanche go head-to-head in the city final. After five games, the series was tied at 5 points apiece. The Avs proved to be too much in the deciding game, beating the Flames 7-3 to take home the city title. U14 AAA saw a huge surprise as the fifth seed JRC pulled off three straight upsets to win the title. First, they swept the fourth seed Vaughan Kings in round one, followed by a 3-1 series win over the top-seeded Toronto Marlboros, and they followed that by sweeping the third-seed Toronto Titans in the final. An incredible run by the Canadiens. Now, the U14 OHL Cup takes place this weekend in Kingston, and four GTHL teams are taking part: JRC, Toronto Marlboros, Toronto Titans, and North York Rangers. Good luck to these teams in Kingston. U14 AA saw a similar run by the third seed Mississauga Beast. A comfortable first round series win over the Mississauga Terriers was followed by a 7-5 upset of the second seed Vaughan Rangers. Another upset followed in the West final when they beat the top seed Capitals 6-4. And the Scarborough Young Bruins awaited them in the city finals, but the Mississauga Beast held firm and took home the city championship in 4 games. U14 single A saw the West champs Vaughan Rangers face the East champs Leaside Flames, and the Rangers, after blowing a 4-0 lead, found a way in game 5 to beat the Flames 4-1 to take home the city crown for the first time in the 2012 age group. U13 AAA, the dominant team all year, Toronto Marlboros, continued that trend in the playoffs, sweeping JRC in the final to advance to the OHFs, after going 6-0 to advance to the final, they were upset 2-1 in the championship game by the Quinte Red Devils. U13 AA team of the year, the Leaside Flames, rolled through the playoffs, beating North Toronto in 2 straight in the East final, then beating the Mississauga Beast in 2 straight in the city final. They will look to keep that mojo going at the OHFs this weekend in Sudbury. In U13 single A, it was the Leaside Flames once again coming out on top. A win and 2 ties were enough to get by Vic Village Mustangs in the East final. And then 2 straight wins over Vaughan Rangers in the city finals have them heading to Listowel this weekend for the OHFs. Good luck to them. Now to U12 AAA, saw the top seed Toronto Marlboros take home the title, but not without some competition. In the semis, Marlboros needed 5 games to get past the Young Nats. And again, in the final, the third seed DMF took the Marlboros to 5 games before falling to the top seed. U12 AA, North Toronto is playing Streetsville in the city final. Both teams have 1 win, and the series can be decided Friday night at Scotia Pond. If they tie Friday night, then it will be settled Saturday at Chesswood. U12 single A saw North Toronto win the East and make it to the city final, but they were no match for the West champs Vaughan Rangers, who took the crown in 2 straight games. Now U11 AAA, no surprise the final came down to top seed JRC and second seed DMF, but it was a minor surprise that the series only took 3 games, and it was the Flyers winning all 3. Games 1 and 2 could not have been closer, with both finishing 1-0 Don Mills, and the Flyers didn't let up in Game 3, winning 3-0 to take home the title. Congrats to Jamie Edwards and company. U11 AA City Final is underway. Faustina Toros in the West have 2-0 lead on the East champs North Toronto. They can close out the series Friday night at Chesswood Arena. And U11 single A also playing at city final. This time, the East champs Leaside Flames are up 2-0 on the West champs Applewood Coyotes. The Flames can win it all Saturday at Chesswood. U10 AAA final came down to the top 2 teams in the league, Toronto Marlboros and Vaughan Kings. Series went 5 games and ended earlier tonight with the regular season champs, Toronto Marlboros, pulling off the double with a 5-1 win in Game 5, That's a great first season in the G for the Marlboros. And U10AA is the city final, the East champs, Forest Hill, against the West champs, Humber Valley. Game one finished in a 3-3 tie, while game two saw the Sharks take a 3-1 series lead with a 3-1 lead, with a 3-1 win. The Sharks can wrap up the series Saturday at Chestwood Arena.
A lot going on at Chestwood Saturday.
Yeah, I know. And finally, U10 single A, North Toronto, after an undefeated regular season, kept the good times rolling, winning the East final over Forest Hill and the city final over the Vaughan Panthers. An incredible season for NT, and congrats to all the winners and city finalists on a great season.
So it's a big day at Chestwood. You basically get to watch the finals on Saturday if you went to Chestwood.
Yeah, you get to see all the little tykes go at it. Yeah.
Then that is it for them. So that's it. That's a heck of a season, Puff. That's a heck of a season, my man.
It's interesting to see, like, certain organizations did really well. Like, Leaside won a lot in the East. North Toronto at the younger ages did very well. Vaughan Rangers.
Yeah.
Vaughan Kings, Marlboros, JRC, DMF.
It's good.
Same teams did really well.
I still think they should have a GTHL store, don't you think, where you could buy all this like swag from all the different teams, like an NHL store? So. Don't you? When you hear you talk about all these teams and they're all playing up at Chestwood or Scotiabank or whatever, like they could have the kids like to wear their stuff and the parents like to buy the stuff and, you know, alumni would come in and buy and grandparents. I think they could open a store and I think it would do quite well.
Yeah, but then say you're a coach and what you see one of your kids running by with a rival's hat on, you might be like, uh-oh.
Well, that's just like saying, yeah, but like NHL players don't wear other teams' hats when they're on that team.
You would I think the same rule. What would be great if the kids at signing day had like different hats and they were like deciding which
team. They decided and they picked one. They like, yeah, they put one on. That'd be good, actually. Yeah. Puff, we really got to get on the board or the commission there of the GTHL, implement some of this stuff, you know, in season trades, betting.
Yeah.
All the stuff.
In season trades and betting. That's our two big policies.
That's our big policies. I don't know what to tell you. Beers at the OHL Cup.
Yes. Beers at Scotiabank. Well, we can do beers at Scotiabank because they have the bar there.
Yeah, but you can only watch the one thing there. You can't. Like, yeah, it'd be good if you could buy a beer. Like in the States, they know how to do it. You can have a beer and walk around and watch, and it's normal. Here, you can't do any of that stuff.
Oh yeah, my favorite rink in Sylvania had this great little bar, and you just
you can just watch anything,
all the action, and they had live barn in the bar.
Yeah, perfect. There was which one? There's the one, the Western Fairgrounds, I think, in London, Ontario. You played there ever?
Yeah, great bar. Yeah,
they have a bar, a small bar, but you're allowed to take your beers around everywhere. So people are kind of having beers and watching. That's a good one.
That's great.
Yeah, but we don't have that. We have
nothing wrong with getting the parents juiced up a little bit and then getting a rink and get after the referees.
Yeah. Ted Reeves should get a liquor license. That little thing. It would be great to go in there and have a beer, don't you think?
You're great.
So these are the things that I worry about. Where can you have a beer?
It might get solved. This is something
anyway. We
can work on for next year.
All right, Puff. Well, we're at the end. We're at the end. This is it. This is the end of the season. End of this season. End of our season. Mm-hmm. You got hockey next year. You guys, Barrett's got a new team next year.
Yeah, Barrett will be on a new team next year.
Yeah.
And Austin, we don't know what Austin's going to be on. We'll have to find out. We got to sign him up, actually.
We don't know about Max. And we're going to be Clive's going back to the team. And Ozzy is going back to his Ted Reeve roots next year. So he'll be going back to his team he was on for the last few years after a wonderful season. But he's joining a couple of his buddies. A bunch of the buddies are all kind of coming back for one last season at the Ted Reeve. So that's going to be a lot.
Oh, that'd be fantastic.
Yeah.
I get to watch the same kids that I got. I would be like, what are they doing? They're taking another stupid penalty.
Yeah. We get to watch that all again, another season of that. But before we go, before we leave, what is our song of the week? And this one's always the biggest one because it's what you're leaving the crowd with for the summer. You know, geez. There's a lot of pressure on the last one.
Let's see. This that's not the assignment that I took.
No, I know. I know. I'm just kidding with you.
I was reading a story about the Leafs that was basically tearing the organization apart. But the thing I didn't know about the team this year was their victory songs. Didn't hear it very much because they didn't win very much.
They didn't win.
But their victory songs were Wonderwall by Oasis. But the other one is a song called Hideaway by Daya.
Okay.
They picked this song because rookie Easton Cowan, when he was in junior, he did a TikTok to this song. And so I guess the team found the TikTok and then it became a bit of a running joke for Cowboy. And it's just a lesson to the kids. You put something on the internet, it never goes away. They'll find it. So
they'll find it.
But it's a little banger. It had a little run.
All right. So your song's Hideaway by Daya.
Daya, yeah. You probably would know this song.
I'm sure I will. Right now it's playing. Yes. Stoff is playing in the background now. I'm going to go, okay. I know it. It's a good tune. Good tune. I like this one. Awesome. Well, I'm going to wrap up mine with the end of my theme, which was Canadian music only, back half of the season. And so I've been listening to another podcast called Concan, and it is a podcast all about Canadian music. And it's actually really, really well done. And they did a most recent episode around this band called the Parachute Club. I don't know if you know who the Parachute Club is.
I remember that band, yeah.
But they have a song called Rise Up. And you would know it if you heard it. Yeah. And it's a full-on Toronto song. If you watch the video, it's them at like Roy Thompson Hall and walking down like Wellington.
Ontario Place and stuff.
It's just like, where in Toronto are you is the video.
Yeah.
And it's full 1984. It won the Song of the Year, I believe, in the 1984 Junos.
Oh, nice.
And it's a little pump-up song. I love it. I know the song. I would listen to it the odd time. It's on my mega playlist. But I actually didn't realize it was Canadian until I listened to this podcast. And it was like, not only is it Canadian, it's like truly Canadian. It's filmed everywhere. So my song to leave everybody off, have a great summer, is to Rise Up, Parachute Club. Great. And, you know, long live the Junos. You know, I also want to add that in. The Junos just happened a couple weeks ago. I watch it. I love it. I like watching it. I think I'm almost very alone in that act. I don't think many people care about the Junos. So I want to just give the shout out to the Junos. I care about the Junos. I hope more of people would care about the Junos. So that's my little shout out.
I know people that work on the broadcast and they put a lot of time and effort into it. I think artists in the country care, but people in general don't care about the award shows as much anymore.
Yeah, but it's not even the Junos is interesting because I think they've changed their format a bit where it's not really an award show anymore. Yeah, they have the awards, but it was really just an hour and a half of performances.
Yeah. Well, who was the best performance at this year's Juno?
It's a good question. There is a guy, Mustafa, who did a really great song, like acoustic song in the, I'm drawing a blank on his name. But it was really well done. The Beaches did a really nice stripped down version of, one of their songs, which was good. You know, they did a thing for, Joni Mitchell, which was nice, a tribute and Nelly Furtado won the performer or lifetime achievement award, something like that. They're all pretty good. Rush opened it up. Rush kicked it off. Yeah. So it was cool. I thought it was cool. Awesome. I'm down with it. Listen, I'm proud of the Junos. I'm proud of the CFL. I'm proud of the GTA show. I'm
proud of a lot of our stuff.
Yeah. I'm proud of these things. Anyway. All right. Well, that's it. We're going to come back next year. Puffy, before we head out, is there anything left you want to give the listeners before we leave for the summer?
No, just good luck to all the kids at tryouts. Good luck to the parents getting through tryouts. It could be nerve-wracking if you're still looking for a team or trying to figure out the right spot for your kid, but it'll work out. It usually does.
Yeah, usually does. Well, that's a nice message. Everyone else, thanks for listening. Thanks for listening to Season 3. We'll be back Season 4. If you have any ideas, things you want to talk about, feedback. Tell us to stop. Let us know. just DM us on Instagram. And yeah, thanks for listening, everybody. We appreciate it. And we look forward to having you back next season. And have a great summer. Thanks, Stoff, for all you do. And that's it for To the Rink for season 3. Thanks very much.